Hello, my name is Junie, and welcome to the Theta Game Podcast. I'm not a financial advisor, and nothing I say is financial advice. I'm just a normal retail trader, just like you. I'm not certified or a graduate of finance, just a trader that started on Wall Street Bets years ago. I've lost a lot of money and made all of it back and more after finding a system that worked for me. You can view all my trades for free at thetagang.com/Junie, no signup required, and email me any questions that I'll answer on the podcast at junie@thetagang.com. Lastly, I stream on Twitch every weekday at least an hour at 9 a.m. Pacific time. Come hang out, ask me questions, vent, or just chill. It's a positive environment, and everyone is welcome at twitch.tv/realthetagang. I've been using the TastyTrade trading platform since I started my ThetaGang journey 5 years ago, and it feels surreal that I've partnered with TastyTrade so I can focus on bringing you guys and girls the content. If you'd like to sign up and use TastyTrade for your trading journey, you can use my link in the show description or use the ThetaGang referral code, that's one word, all caps, when signing up. I use TastyTrade every Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. Pacific time, where I chat and trade with viewers live every morning. Go again to twitch.tv/realthetagang if you're interested, join the chatter and morning hangout. Thank you, and I hope you enjoy today's episode. Hello, how is it going? Today's August 2nd, 2024, and the market is honestly pretty red. We're continuing down the downtrend. You're starting to see a lot more, oh, this is the recession. The recession is coming sort of news. It's hard to tell when these, you know, news articles and when the recession is actually on its way. It's definitely getting more apparent that this could be a prolonged downtrend. We don't know. The Fed has hinted at cutting rates as soon as September. That might help the market in the short term, but you know, some popular opinions would agree that, you know, maybe these rates are coming in a little bit too late and the recession is imminent. Unemployment, still a very big number that people are respecting and people are watching. Unemployment came in a little bit hotter, or aka higher than expected, which is, you know, not very good. You know, when people are not able to work and able to make money slash able to make payments on their car or house, it's not a good thing. However, that should start curbing inflation as people might get paid less, as people are more, I wouldn't say desperate, but more willing to work. Then you have another parallel point where maybe because people just aren't able to work, they're not able to pay for things, and costs just naturally have to come down to meet the customer's wallet. Of course, when the price doesn't come down, that's when we get the wealth gap sort of material, but this isn't a poli-sci podcast, so I'll keep that sort of topic for another podcast to handle. But yeah, right now the heebie-jeebies, or the vibes of the market, is I think that the market is a little shaky. We had the Japanese market limit down 2 times in a day, and that sparked off a really red opening for today on Friday. Again, today's August 2nd, 2024, as I'm recording this episode. I don't know what's going to happen on Monday. By the time you're listening to this, it's going to be Monday. Is it green? Is it red? I don't know. But we're going to talk a little bit about my own trading this week, and we'll go into a little bit about best loser wins, and we'll call that a day. In regards to my trading, I trade with an initial account balance of $300K for this year. Currently, as of today, market is closed. It's 1:33 p.m. Pacific time for me. My profit loss for year to date is $48,093.18. That puts me at a pretty flat 16.03% year to date. Me being 16.03 up year to date, SPY is up 12.75. So hey, you know, I'm increasing the lead I have on SPY. QQQ as well. QQQ ending today 11.47 year to date. I am 16.03% up year to date. So I feel really good. I feel confident in that. I feel like I have my position sizing in check. I'm doing pretty good risk management this year. I feel like that's also something I'm really proud of. But again, you know, I could have had more profits to lose if I stepped on the gas pedal a little bit earlier this year. But really, I'm okay with this outcome. Love where I'm at, and I'm excited to see where the rest of trading goes. Quickly talking about some of the learnings that I've learned this week in terms of, like, you know, what I've been trying, what I've been doing. You guys and girls know that I've been trying to buy options more often these days as the market's trying to, you know, find a bottom. You know, I might as well have a max loss that I'm willing to lose instead of like some assignment that might be potentially scary. So I've been learning to like buy puts and calls. And a part of that also is me experimenting. Do I like naked calls? Do I like spreads? And, you know, I was pretty bearish on Coinbase because I saw the expectations for Coinbase were pretty high. And just crypto has not been doing well for the second quarter of the fiscal year. And there's just a lot of things leading to me to have a bearish perspective. I also saw this like one article on Wall Street Bets that kind of like gave me some confirmation bias. So I said, you know what? I'll buy some puts into Coinbase earnings. So I opened up puts, a put spread. Actually, this, and that's the important part. I opened up a put spread on Coinbase when it was around 244. I opened a spread at the 230 to 220. After earnings, dude, it was at 208. I paid, you know, maybe like $270 for it. And then at the end of the day, I made like $370 for the trade. And that's amazing. You know, I love that I was able to make that much money. But for the for what the context was, it wasn't worth it. And I'll tell you why. Because before the earnings report, I was able to exit that put debit spread for around $330 for profit. Like, I remember that number popping up and I was like, ah, you know, that's like, it's like a double up. You know, I paid $274, $330. I could take this off the table and I don't even have to play earnings. But I thought, you know what? I am actually pretty insistent that this stock was going to go down. You know, I feel like there's more to be had or more to be. I had a good buffer because I was already so correct in my bet. Once I bought the put debit spread, Coinbase really just went down. And so that's why I was so profitable up to the earnings as well. And I thought, hey, you know what? I'll hold on to it. And I hold on to it. Coinbase falls all the way down to 208. But the most I was ever able to get out of it was positive 370. So I basically went overnight with a position that I was doubly up on. And I only got like $50 more or $40 more, $330. Yeah. So it just didn't make sense, right, from my perspective. Like, why would I play earnings for just only $50 more? And that's telling me that, wow, if you play a stock that's very volatile, like Coinbase, and you make it an earnings play, it has to be, I think, strictly an earnings play because, meaning that like the expiration has to be the earnings week. I had bought like two more weeks of extra time on top, you know, in case if I was kind of wrong, but I kind of felt like it might be able to still go down. But in either case, I was like so correct in my downwards movement. Like Coinbase only went down. It went past my short strike. It went fully into the money. And I was only able to get $50 more, even with all the volatility taken out. And I learned a huge lesson. You know, I can't be too mad because I essentially doubled up my money. It was just, you know, from a 270 investment to a 330 profit. Like, that's cool. But like, I was really expecting more from the trade. And to me, that's teaching me, hey, you know what? If it's going to be an earnings play, it's got to expire as an earnings. I just want to be correct on that one thing. I don't want extra time on it. I've realized that. And then also, I really think I'm a fan of buying naked puts and naked calls. I think it makes the strategy just a little bit simpler and a little bit easier to understand. And if I'm going to be further out the money anyway, I think that's okay. I think if I ever had to do a spread again, it has to be one that's at the money or very near the money where I could capture more intrinsic value at one time. But that's where I draw the line. So I've learned a lot about what I like especially of what I don't like about put debit spreads. So I don't know if I'll be doing those more often in the future. Maybe I'll revisit them, but really right now I'm just focused on naked puts, naked calls, and all that fun stuff. So for those that don't know, this is the Theta Game podcast, the official podcast of ThetaGame.com. The main priority of mine is always really the website. Like, this podcast was always like supplementary. Sometimes I would talk about the website on this podcast, and I haven't done so in quite a while. And if you haven't been to the website lately, you'll be pleased to know that there are a whole bunch of stats and graphs for you to enjoy on your past trades for this year. If you log in today, you'll see a profit factor number, you'll see a win percentage number. You've always had that number on your profile. But then there's neat bar graph of showing your trades that you're profitable on and trades that you're not profitable on per week. So that's pretty cool. And then you also get to see some stats of like how many times you've won, how many times you've lost on particular strategies, what your average gain is on a particular type of trade, and what your average loss is on a particular trade. I wanted to talk about my long put, long call, and everything in between, those type of strategies, of my performance on those, because I don't want to seem like I'm this like guru of just like I know when to buy puts, I know when to buy calls, because quite frankly I don't. The numbers don't lie, but I just thought I'd share some of my numbers here, just so you know, we get a better feel of like where I am in my process. So for buying long puts, I've bought long puts 12 times, and I've won 6 times, and I've lost 6 times. My average profit when I do win is $388, and my average loss when I lose is $150. So that's pretty cool. Like, that sort of odds, those sort of odds is pretty nice, especially over 12 trades. I'm able to know that I make $389 usually when I win, and then when I lose $150. That's pretty good odds to me if I only win 50% of the time. That sounds pretty good. Put debit spreads, and this is including the profit that I just made from this Coinbase put debit spread. My average profit is about $294, and my average loss is $295. And my win rate or win percentage is 25%. I've opened 4 of these. I won only one time. This Coinbase put credit spread, put debit spread, is the first one that I've won. I've lost on the other 3. And from right now, I can tell that this strategy probably is not going to work out in the long run. If I only win 25% of the time and my average profit is about the same as my average loss, over a longer period of time, I'm going to lose unless if I change something up. And that's kind of why I was so upset at why I only received like the amount of money that I did for holding onto Coinbase. I was definitely expecting more. I want my profits to be bigger than my losses, because of course, in a lower probability strategy, like being long on options, you need to win some home runs every once in a while to give yourself a buffer to lose a few in a row. My call debit spreads, I've only done 2 of them, and I've won on one, and I've lost on the other one. The one that I've won, I won $29, and the one that I lost $360. So while my win percentage is 50%, this strategy definitely will not work over the long run. It's only 2 data points, so I'm willing to keep on trying. However, I do have to realize, yeah, there is something about call debit spreads where I feel like collecting $30 profit is worth it, apparently. But my average loss is $360. So something needs to change. I need to just do more, try to get a nice call debit spread win under the table, see how many bad trades it takes for me to maybe get there. That's how I'm viewing this trade. And then last but not least, the piece of the resistance. There is the long call. I am horrible at these, apparently. So my average profit every time I do win on a long call is $16. My average loss is around $296. And check this, I've done these 9 times. I've only won 1 time, and that was $16. My average loss is $296. Isn't that crazy? I think that's crazy. My win percentage on these is 11%. And this is also the strategy that I've tried the most. I am so bad at buying long calls. It's ridiculous. But we'll see where this goes. I'm excited to see how this number pans out for the rest of the year. And I'm thinking at the end of this year, I'm probably going to, you know, generate some PDF for you or something. It's going to look official. It'll look pretty cool. I have big hopes for the end of this year with like a Fade Gang Wrapped. And then there's going to be like, you know, your progress, what you did well, maybe showing you your worst trade you've ever done, as if someone needs a reminder. But like, you know, also your best trades and get you started on the good foot for next year. So lots of cool stuff. All these stats I'm sharing with you just got released this week. I put so much work in over the weekend and throughout this week to get all the bugs fixed and whatnot. And today, while I'm recording right now, I feel so good. I mean, I wanted these changes out so long, and this branch was getting so huge. You know, the software devs know what I'm talking about, but like this collection of work was growing, and I needed to just really just complete it as much as I could and then just release it, because I knew there was going to be bug bound. There's going to be lots of bugs attached to it. And yeah, so I feel great. I feel like I'm in a really clean slate. I'm really proud of where everything is at. Everything is nice, tidy, and clean. So now I'm going to be focusing on maybe a little bit more YouTube. You know, I feel like I have some mental bandwidth there now that I don't have this giant amount of work looming over my shoulder. Maybe there's new stats. Maybe I get started on the Theta Wrap stuff kind of earlier. I don't know. Maybe PDF report generation. Maybe some email stuff. I have no idea. Got to look over the backlog, but that's what I'm working on. All right, this last part of the podcast is going to be a little bit more freeform, and you guys will understand why. So I just want to talk a little bit about how this book, again, called Best Loser Wins, I've talked about it in the last two or three episodes already. Maybe this is the third one, or maybe this is the fourth one. I don't remember, but this is the last time I'll be talking about this book, at least in terms of an episode topic. This book has saved me, I think, tens of thousands of dollars. I believe so. And a part of that is because of some of the ideologies, right? Like, I firmly believe that stocks are no longer at a discount if they've gone down a lot. Like right now, I think the primary example, the most contextual example I can give you is Intel. Intel has gone down nearly 30% after announcing layoffs, a bad earnings report, and pausing their dividend. Some people might think that's really cheap, and some people might want to go in, but nope. I think, and Tom Hooger would think, that that's just the new value of the stock. It no longer pays a dividend of whatever that dividend yield is, so it just only makes sense it goes down at least that amount. That's not a discount. That's just literally fair market value. And then, of course, the perceived forecast of like, wait, you're pausing half of your identity. You know, that's something that I reflected on in yesterday's stream and today's stream. You know, I'm talking with the chat, and you know, I think that, you know, Intel has always been this stock that's been like, oh, it's a semiconductor stock, and did you know that they also paid a dividend? Like, everyone talks about that in that case. Like, everyone talks about Intel being a dividend stock and being a semiconductor stock and being a U.S. stock. Right, so you just basically lost a third of your identity by pausing this dividend. It's not a good sign. Layoffs is also really sucky. And you can see why that isn't a discount, right? It's just the new market value. It's lower. Intel sucks more than before it reported, and that's okay. It doesn't mean that it's a discount. It doesn't mean that you should or have to buy today. And that's the same thing with Nike as well. So these companies have all had huge, huge haircuts in this market. But it does not mean that it needs to bounce, it needs to go back up, because really it just needs to continue doing its own thing and prove that its numbers are back in an uptrend. But right now, I don't know if it could be considered a discount. So, and how that relates to me, you know, not losing or AKA saving tens of thousands of dollars is I would have probably bought a little bit of Nike. I would have probably bought a little bit of Intel, or really a little bit of AMD or a little bit of Nvidia, had I like not internalized this in my head, right? This idea that stocks are never at a discount is not my original idea. Maybe not even Tom Hooger's original idea, but he definitely was the one that inspired me with that sort of take from this book. So he talks about that a lot in this book, and I feel like that has saved me a lot of money, because I feel like I would have bought in the dip a lot sooner and a lot more of it already. And I feel like I've done a really good job in kind of being patient, but also taking some of my losers off the table, because I shouldn't be afraid of losing, right? Like, it's okay to close stuff for red. And, you know, it sucks even more to have to go back into your favorite logging software or logging platform and then post a loser. Then everyone sees it. Everyone might think you're a loser. But I think that's where the competition is. And that's the title of this book, is The Best Loser Wins. Is, you know, how well do you do during a red market? How well do you do when you're, you know, when your losing trades start to lose? Do you let them become bigger and unmanageable? Or do you actually have a set of rules to help you maintain the awesome profits that you've made this year? So besides that reminder that stocks are not a discount, because I've talked about that in one of these Best Loser Wins episodes, right? This, you know, I've mentioned that before. I wanted to sort of leave you guys and girls off with this last episode talking about a story from the book. I honestly cannot find it. I'm like scanning all my pages, all the ones I took notes on. I think I might have just been, I just read it and I just, it was a great story. It's in here somewhere. If you read the book, you guys are going to know what I'm talking about. So I'm just going to have to paraphrase it as best as possible. I literally paused my like recording session right now. Went like a good 10 minutes just like flash reading every page. I cannot find it. That's why I probably have bad reading comprehension. So we're just gonna try our best, okay? Or I'm gonna try my best. And you know, I want to say for those that have lost big this year, you know, I can understand how tilting that can be, okay? I've lost tens of thousands of dollars before, and it never feels good. And I would almost argue that it feels worse losing tens of thousands of dollars if you've already won tens of thousands of dollars. Like, you had it in your grasp and it got away from you. Whether if it was a bias towards a direction, position sizing, or some mix of the two, it's now gone. But I thought that I would end this series of Best Loser Wins and like what my favorite stories are from here with a story that I think would help you. Okay, so, you know, forgive me for the people that have read the book already. I might misspeak a little bit, but I think the message will go through pretty straight. So, I think Tom Hooger, the author of the book, if I remember correctly, goes to a tennis match. I believe the tennis match was Serena Williams and versus someone else. I don't remember. But he actually ends up sitting next to a famous golf player. And dude, I suck at knowing athletes, right? Like, I only know the super famous ones. But apparently he was sitting next to a really famous golfer. And, you know, I think maybe he wanted to spark up a conversation. Maybe there wasn't a point in play and he just wanted to make conversation to the person that was next to him. And it happened to be that golfer. And Tom, I guess just the kind of person he is, he loves asking, you know, some really hot take questions sometimes. He says, like, do you think that Tiger Woods is a better golfer than you? Or something of that sort. Like, do you think Tiger Woods can beat you? Something like that. He asks this golfer that he might have just met that's pretty famous this question of, can Tiger Woods beat you? And what the golfer said is what I think can help you if you're in the red today. And if you wanted to start your journey and start trading responsibly and all that boring stuff, I think this little tidbit would help a lot. The golfer, the famous golfer, not Tiger Woods, said that what made Tiger Woods the greatest of all time was his ability to just forget about anything that has ever gone wrong and just focus on the next shot. I think that this isn't really a new idea because, you know, when I golf with my friends, okay, first of all, I'm nowhere near Tiger Woods level or any pro level. I would hardly argue that I'm at any average level. We talk about gold fishing, and it's like a meme among our friends group. We're like, we hit a really bad ball, maybe it shanks into the bushes or something, and then we hit another one near the bush, and then they're like, goldfish, 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 don't remember goldfish. And that's to really like forget about your last swing, just focus on this one, because this is the one that matters now. The one that you just swung, hey, you know what? Something happened. You had everything in check, maybe everything in place. It just wasn't a good swing. The ball went somewhere that you didn't expect it to. But you can't focus on what's already done. And I'm sure some of you guys are maybe drawing parallels to some life experiences, and you're like, you know what? That's right. And that same logic there of, you know, it is what it is and moving on can be applied to trading. What separates Tiger Woods from really any golfer is his ability to forget what the bad strokes were and focus on what's current and what's present. The golfer, the famous golfer, said something along the lines of that he drives farther than Tiger Woods. He hits farther than Tiger Woods. He has a better like on green percentage than Tiger Woods or something. But Tiger Woods would always win. And he said that the most defining quality of Tiger Woods was Tiger Woods' ability to forget, move on, and really clutch it, just get back into his system. Yeah, I mean, it's easier said than done, of course. You know, losing a lot of money is really tough. It's tough emotionally, mentally, and sometimes I would think almost physically. I mean, sometimes it's just physically exhausting. You just feel really beat up, tired, you feel unmotivated. Losing a lot of money and at one time is it's a feel bad moment. But think of that as a skill that you could develop, because who knows, maybe you end up making more money than you actually ended up losing. And one day you might end up losing this same amount of money again, but all along you were going to be perfectly fine. Now, there's a difference between not having a plan, YOLOing, losing it all, and then saying, ah, well, and then just doing it again and then losing it all again. But if you wanted to maybe take this loss and reflect on it and say, you know what, there are a few things that I can brush it up on. Maybe I can take smaller bets and scale this strategy when I know it can work for me later, you know, something like that. Or maybe, you know, I won't buy cheap stocks that are losing 30% in one day and then thinking it will rebound. You know, there's so many different ways we can improve our trading strategy. That doesn't necessarily mean that we just YOLO it all again. There are a few like bonus points that I wanted to tack onto this. He talks about, these are some of the pages that I did end up finding. And again, sorry for paraphrasing, Mr. Tom, if you get a chance to listen to this podcast episode. I just cannot find which page I read that Tiger Woods story on. But I do see a little bit here about, you know, Kobe Bryant. Everyone knows who Kobe Bryant is, famous basketball player, tragically passed away with some family members a few years back, played for the Los Angeles Lakers. You know, he says there's a trader that he was talking to that says that Kobe Bryant missed more shots than any player in history, and we know how much of a, you know, quote ball hog we might have called Kobe Bryant. But, you know, this trader said that Bryant was willing to encounter failure in every game he played. In trading, you gotta be willing to lose. It's tough, you know. Trading theta game related strategies, I think, also kind of warps your view. And this is the Theta Game podcast, right? I'm very much still a theta game trader. But winning more often than you lose is a really powerful feeling. And that will happen if you do theta gang related trades with covered calls, cash secured puts, maybe some put credit spreads, you know, all that fun stuff, you're bound to win more often than you lose. It's just when you lose, sometimes your losses can get quite large. And it takes some sort of skill and repetition to be able to detect these things faster. We're human. We're not mathematical robots. We don't have if statements in our head. So you can think of, you know, this blip of red in case if you're down for the year or maybe down for the month. You can think of this little blip of red as a repetition. The more blips of red you can withstand and the more blips of red that you have under your belt, the better you will manage the other blips of red. Think about it. In terms of Tiger Woods, the more shots that he misses, the more reps that he gets to focus on forgetting about the last shot. It's not a skill that you just automatically develop. You don't instantly become good at forgetting about really bad hits with your club. You need to have many hits where you're so frustrated from, you're forced to take that on as a skill. You have to learn how to channel and just focus on being present. It's a skill, right? And some of us have had many reps of these bad red days. And if we don't do anything with them, it's going to make us feel hopeless. If you choose to get better at forgetting these red moments to continue trading on, then it's only going to get better and easier to manage red positions, right? Think about it in Kobe Bryant's terms. Because he's had so many misses, he doesn't mind missing anymore because he understands that at the end of the day, his numbers will play out in the end. He's going to go for the shots that he needs to make, and he's going to make those. If he misses them, it's okay. He's playing his best game that he can, but he's not limiting himself. He's not stopping basketball, or in this case, you know, he's not. You wouldn't be quitting trading if your loss was like very small. You can absolutely take a break. It's not like you're an NBA player or a stock trader pro. You can absolutely take a break. Okay, like I think breaks are good for everyone. I don't want to give off the wrong impression. But I hope you guys see my point is the more red days you have, the more days you have to actually focus on something that scales much better into the future. It's only if you have like a huge red day and you just go on tilt and you make more red trades or you just say, oh, it was unlucky and you totally disregard it and you just continue trading on. I think that's a huge waste of time and it's going to eventually lead you to maybe blow up. So at the end of the day, I'll leave you guys off with this. If you had a red day today, or maybe you've had a red week, a red month, a red year, or maybe like of all time, you're still red and you just cannot figure out what is happening or what is wrong. I think instead of dwelling on, you know, how do I make it back? You know, that's something that's looking at the past. How do I, you know, hold on to what money I have? You know, that's, again, looking into the past. We should try to be more like Tiger Woods or Kobe Bryant, where instead of focusing on shots that we miss or that don't go well, we just be very current and in the moment and sort of trust that we are on the right path. That's going to be heard differently by different people. Right, like if you've never made money before in the stock market and you hear me say that, you're gonna think like, oh man, that's a lot of hoopla. I'll tell you what, you guys have just all been getting lucky. I don't know what I'm doing wrong, but you guys are all just getting lucky. This market is rigged. There's no helping you. you're far gone and you probably don't exist. I'm probably making that person up. I'd say that most people here probably did make money this year, and I'm talking to probably a balance of people that made a lot of money and gave some of it back, or you know, some people that maybe are just like break even from maybe the start of the year, and other people that are just like very red. In all cases, I think most people have lost, you know, some chunk of profit or have lost some losses within the last like maybe 2 or 3 weeks. It's been a pretty violent downwards trend. And with that, I mean, we just got to trade our trades that we're trading. It sounds so cliche. We got to trade now. We got to trade current. We don't look at our old profit loss graph and say, oh man, you know what? Man, I was so up. Man, I wish I was back up here. And that's, I think that's something very much easier to do if you're on Robinhood. I think it's actually a pretty bad habit to have, to be honest. And I know you do it, because I do that on my 5K challenge account. So I guess there's like a pro for TastyTrade, because TastyTrade doesn't have that like nice looking profit loss graph. But maybe honestly, it's kind of a good thing, right? Past profits and past losses really should not focus, should be our focus for our future trades, because we're trading in the market today. We're not trading in the market that's in the past no more. We gotta make our money that we currently have work for the current market. 3 or 4 months ago, in the first 6 months of the year, we were not scared of a second recession. Or, you know, of a, I don't know why I said second recession, of a recession. Or maybe I meant to say like in the second half of the year, but anyway. Yeah, we weren't scared of a recession in the first half of the year, when all of our profits were really high. Now we're down and recession talk is starting to come up. And we have to kind of give that a little bit of respect, right? Like where before calls used to work, cash secured puts used to work. If you're still putting on those same plays in the exact same fashion, maybe your system has not changed one bit, you're not giving this current market environment the respect I think it deserves. I think the stock market is a beautiful creation that humans have made. I think it's a beautiful work of art, but man, is it dangerous. Just like the ocean, not made by man, but you know, ocean, huge, beautiful, you know, especially when it's calm, ooh, it looks so good. But when there's a storm, man, it is violent and it can actually kill you. I don't even know if I'm allowed to say that on the podcast. Maybe I actually gets this, it gets this censored. Maybe I'm supposed to say unalived. I don't know. Anyway, so let's just be more present, you know. Maybe I'll go into a little bit of that in the 1% section today. I'm on a timer. I sent my fiance out to go thrift store shopping because she has this Friday off, apparently. Yeah, it's supposed to be every other Friday, but her dental office like closed today. So she was like, oh, I'm gonna stay home all day. I was like, no, you're not. You're definitely gonna go somewhere so I can record this podcast. Because I honestly cannot record when there's someone else in the building, in the same building. I cannot do it. It's so embarrassing talking to a microphone when someone else is listening. And then, you know, it takes a few takes sometimes for me to say something the way I want to say it. And it's just kind of embarrassing. But anyway, she's coming back soon. I'm going to get started with the outro. I hope you guys enjoyed this Best Loser Wins series. I know I've enjoyed this a ton. This book is now available on the Theta Gang library. It's something that I do for my patrons. If you join Patreon, I bought all these cool finance books and I ship them to patrons that are interested in renting them. Shipping is free, renting is free. It's just read it and just send it back to me. I think it's a pretty cool idea. We're all like writing names in the covers and after we're done reading them. I think it's just a cool little thing. And yeah, shout out to Major. Major is, I think, gets the award for literal most impactful person for me this year in terms of my trading. That's for sure. This book has definitely changed my trading habits for the better. I don't know for how long either. Maybe this book impacts me for the rest of my trading career. But it's very just recent. It's very in context, very in my mind a lot. Maybe it fades, you know, maybe I start to not agree with some of these things over time. But you know, as I'm recording these episodes, you guys are getting my freshest takes. So maybe, you know, in 1 year, maybe I do a reflection and talk about, you know, what things that I did end up liking, what things maybe I didn't like so much. But And anyway, if you continue listening to the podcast, you'll eventually listen to it. Thank you all for being here, and thank you for picking me as your content to enjoy in your commute. I appreciate it a lot. And yeah, I'll talk to you guys later. Bye-bye. From what just started out as just an idea, then learning how to trade options, then building a logging platform, then partnering with TasyTrade is so surreal to me. If you'd like to trade on TasyTrade, you can see the show description from my referral link or use ThetaGain referral code, one word, all caps, when signing up to help me and support the website, podcast, and stream. This podcast, the website, and stream are all made possible because of my patrons at patreon.com/ThetaGain. Signing up helps keep the services up and alive, as well as pay my own personal bills. I do the podcast, website, and stream full-time as my primary source of income. I feel grateful to be able to do this full-time and focus on providing the best service possible for free. The podcast, website, and stream are all free, and it'll stay that way. Signing up for Patreon gives you a few perks, though, so check it out again at patreon.com/ThetaGain if you're interested in helping support. All right. Want to give a shout out to my patrons. That's Fancy Wolf, Los Pepes, Mods, Upstream Puddle, Ensis88, Jimmy Gill, Espresso Bean, ZKMSZ, Joe Quirt, EDC, Travella, Desserts, Kevlar22, Bachata Thug, Nala, J Perkins86, Louis BG, Troop947, T-Ball3252, LPL, Alexander Kerm, Slow Motion, Restier, C-Catsy, The Jester, Grandpa95, Gruffalo, Young Rich, Chicken Dinner, Kaput, Sumatrix, KJ Martin, Statistically Random, Turbo Ricky, Maestro XC, Banadushi, Theta Collector, Tyler LM97, Lord Skeletor, Pig Trader, Major, Tekle Me Elmo, Avrillian, R. Schmitty, YTeen, Danube9000, Jayford, LOL, Danger 10, McFly, Spicy Lemons, Husk P, Mr. Integrity, Rooster, Big Dillo, Loido, Bearded Savage, Danghai, Clutch, Suede Slies, Asha Kabat, AJ Tar, AJR Tar Heel, Bustin' Justin, Andy V, SWH, JHS, Spammy Spam, Arfman, Mememeh, MX7, Vegeta Plank, Cake McMoney, RRL, and Maltman, 1856. Whew. Yeah, that about wraps it up. It feels good. I feel like, yeah, I read the book, did a lot of trading. I did a lot of the website updates and then finishing this podcast series of the book. It really just feels like I'm ending this week on a really high note, that everything just has just wrapped up. I'm excited to see where the market's going to go on Monday. Again, just grateful that I'm beating QQQ and SPY. I feel like that's just been such a big confidence boost for me, right? Like, I feel like if I'm gonna be choosing to be a good example for people on how to trade responsibly, I buy options as well now too, and I feel like I do it in a pretty responsible way, but I also sell options. And I feel like, you know, when people say, you know, oh, ThetaGain strategies, you know, can't beat the market because it's always just, you know, the mean or the average of whatever, blah, 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 blah. But it's like, no, I'm very much beating the market, and I do ThetaGain style trades, and I buy options too. I mean, if that's more your boat. So I think I am continuing to be a good example for people to sort of point to or chime into if they need motivation, that like, hey, you don't need to bet your entire portfolio on a direction or something. You can just very much, trade responsibly, tune little things at one time. And it just takes a while, man. It takes a while for you to find your trading identity. You know, as much as, you know, as this podcast has been heavily, heavily focused on ThetaGain related strategies, I feel like this red market has really given me a chance to focus on other parts of strategies as well. And yeah, I couldn't be more grateful for this new perspective that I have. And I want to bring more of these new perspectives to you guys on the podcast. But we got to just make sure that the fundamentals are in check, right? Like, there's no point in learning really any of these new strategies if, you know, for example, I didn't respect the position sizing. You know, I talked a little bit about my win rate on long calls. You know, I've done 9 of these so far, and I've only won once. I've lost 8 times. My, again, average profit when I do win is $16. And when I lose, it's $296. Can you imagine if I spent thousands of dollars per play? These numbers would be horrible. So, you know, position size, oh man, it's number one. And I feel like a broken record when I say this thing, but really, just make sure that you're selling that put. Dude, you're going to get assigned on it, or it's going to go horrible. Just be okay with wherever you decide is going to be the place you stop out at. Maybe you decide you don't want to take assignment. Then be ready to really own up to it. Take it off the table at whatever percentage you decide to take it off at. But you have to do it, or else you're just going by feeling. Going by feeling works a lot of the time, I'd say. But trading is one of those things where, oh man, I don't know. You can go by feeling when the trade is going really well. I think you have a lot more buffer for feeling when the trade's going really well. When the trade is going bad, feelings are probably the last thing that you want to feel. You probably don't want to be emotional when you have to start managing the stressful stuff. And that's just hard to learn. Like, don't beat yourself over it. Like, I've probably lost more money in one trade than anybody that's listening to this podcast, TBH. Like, let's be real. I came from Wall Street Bets, and I turned out fine. Also, yeah, I'll leave off with this. Just a short 1% section today. Dude, the numbers on the stream have been so good. I thought that maybe people would actually stop watching because, you know, people get less interested in the market. But my Twitch channel, again, twitch.tv/realthetagang at 9 a.m. Pacific time, has been growing hella. There's so many newer people. I feel like there's new people on every day. People are subbing. People are having a good time. People are sharing their losses, about their losses, some of their thoughts about the market. It's just a cool environment, man. Like, it's a cool environment. There's no one, like, being a butt or, like, being mean. It's a good vibe. I'm just drinking my coffee. I'm sure other people are just, you know, you're just doing work and having me on your second monitor. It's awesome. And I just want to say thank you to everyone, again, on Patreon that helps support me so that I can just do this. And, you know, I make less than minimum wage, you know. But, like, I'm fine with that. I'm fine with that if that lets me stream at 9 a.m. Pacific time and be in a meeting. That's why I call my stream these days. It's like, I'm in a meeting where people want to listen to me. Or, you know, I'm in a meeting where people actually enjoy each other. You know, the stream and the chat is such a good vibe. And that, as my start of the day, I'm just so grateful for it. It feels so awesome. I hope some of you can make it. There have been people that come into the chat and they're like, "Hey, I came from the podcast," and it's a cool thing, man. I'll point you out and everything. I'll definitely take note of it because it's a lot, right? Like, I talk about the stream here on the podcast, but then you get out of the car because you were listening to this on the commute. Then you gotta, like, go make your coffee when you step into work. Or, you know, you got to do a whole bunch of things to then sit at a computer, open up the Google Chrome app. Then you're like, twitch.tv/what? Or is it twitch.com? Or, you know, you got to remember to do it. Then you got to type in the URL. And then, you know, you got to do all this stuff. It takes a lot to go out there and go the extra mile and join the stream. But I promise you, if you go, I'm pretty sure you'll like it. There's tons of nice people there, and it's a pretty cool place to hang out. And it's not even that long. It's like an hour and, like, maybe 2 hours max. So I hope to see you guys there if you guys can make it. Otherwise, I'll just see you on the next podcast episode, where I don't know what I'll be talking about yet, but yeah, we'll see. thank you for listening. I'll see everyone next week, and have a fantastic, fantastic week. Thank you so much. Bye-bye. Oh, wait. Let me do the book closing thing.